I'm going to be doing a reading from the book of Job 23, verses 1 through 9, 16 through 17. Then Job answered, "Today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, but he would give heed to me. There the upright could reason with him, and I should be acquitted forever by my judge. If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. If only I could vanish in darkness and thick darkness would cover my face." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful moments of being in your presence. We know that you are here with us this morning, even though we may not see you. Your spirit is present in our hearts and in our church, and in us being together here as the body of Christ. So may you bless us with your message and your presence, and may your spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive you and your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It may be hard to see God as we travel, you know, through periods of spiritual darkness. But God knows the path that we're on, and he can see us. So let me see, is anyone at the point in their lives where you don't want to drive at night anymore? Anybody? It's not uncommon for those of us, you know, who are getting a little older to develop an aversion to night driving. The glare of oncoming traffic and headlights makes it difficult to see the road, especially if it's raining, right? And it could be a sure sign of cataracts, which is an easy, treatable condition. But even after cataract surgery, many older people still dislike nighttime driving. So I don't know if you've ever tried to use these so-called night driving glasses. These spectacles are usually non-prescription glasses with yellow tinted lenses. Anybody seen them? And they often include some kind of anti-reflective coating, and this helps, you know, prevent reflections from street lamps and lights and oncoming headlights that cause eyeglass glare. But the only problem is they don't work very well, okay? According to a study published by the Journal of the American Medical Association, the data suggests that wearing yellow lens glasses when driving at night does not improve performance, particularly in the most critical task, detection of pedestrians. So the kind of night vision we see here in the passage from Job is different. It's not about nighttime driving. It's a night vision that concerns the dark night of the soul. And no one wants to drive in emotional and spiritual darkness. And Job couldn't see, you know, what was going on in his life at that moment. I don't know if you're familiar with, you know, Job's story, but he just lost everything, in a very short span of time. He lost every single thing that was dear to him. All of his property. His children died. He lost his health and he suffered great physical agony. And he couldn't understand. He didn't have any clarity. The song, you know, I can see clearly now, was not playing in his head. And all the misfortune and the crap that had happened to him was unreasonable. And it was absurd if you think about it. And he tried in vain to see through the murkiness. But it was as if he was peering into the darkness. And he was not affected by the glare of oncoming traffic. There was no traffic. There was nothing. No light, no landmark, no signals, no voice. He couldn't see anything. And I think Job, like us, when we find ourselves in similar circumstances, he's not happy. And he says in verse 3, my complaint is bitter. It's bitter. And in this darkness of the soul, Job is searching for answers. And he wants to know where God is while he suffers his afflictions. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you've suffered some afflictions and you wondered, you know, where God was. And so he goes looking for God. He says, if I knew where to find God, I would go there and argue my case. If I knew where on earth to find him, I'd go straight to him and I'd lay my case before him face to face. That's what Job says. But Job has a problem because he can't find God. He says, I cannot find God anywhere in front or back of me, to my left or my right. If I go to the east, you know, God's not there. If I go to the west, I do not see him. When he's at work in the north, I catch no sight of him. When he turns to the south, I cannot see him. It's what you might define as the dark night of the soul. When you're looking for God, but you can't find God. And I tell you, the experience is more common than you might think. This crisis of faith is difficult. It's painful. But if you've experienced it, I want you to know that you are not alone, okay? Because many have faced it, especially those who take their faith seriously. But let me just give you one or two examples. Saint John of the Cross. He was a Spanish mystic and Carmelite friar. And he wrote extensively about his own spiritual journey, and it involved intense periods of doubt, despair, purification. He recounts this ordeal in his famous work, Dark Night of the Soul, if you want to go Google it. Mother Teresa, right? We all know who Mother Teresa was, right? Despite her outwardly joyful and compassionate demeanor, Mother Teresa wrote in her personal letters about experiencing a profound spiritual emptiness and a feeling that she was abandoned by God for most of her life. And of course, there are many more. But of all these figures, Job of the Bible is the archetype of a person struggling to hang on to their faith. Like a person in a dark room fumbling around to find the light switch. Job is the poster child of those who wrestle with the complexity of the human experience and the paradoxes of life. And so what we often do is we decide to pick a fight with God. And those people I mentioned, and many more, they were certainly not beyond picking a fight with God. Job certainly was not afraid to do so. After all, when you've lost everything, What do you have to lose if you shake your fist in the face of the Almighty? You've lost a child to cancer. Or you've lost your spouse. Or maybe your job or your house and maybe your future. So you're down and out. I mean, you're at the end of your rope. You are so low that you couldn't jump off a dime, like they say. You're so angry, so mad that you can start and finish a fight in an empty house. And this was Job. He's mad, he's angry, and he says, I wish I knew where to find God so I could go to where he lives. And I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. And I would learn how he would answer me and would think about what he would say. Would he not argue strongly against me? No, he would really listen to me. Job was angry. And he was giving God the business. He wanted to get God's attention. Not realizing that sometimes you should be careful what you ask for. Because God listened to him and he responded to him, but that's a different story. So in any case, Job was not happy with how God was running the show, right? He was not happy with how God was running the universe. And he wasn't timid about letting God know about it either. Now, it kind of reminds me of a story, a joke, you know, President Reagan once told. An American and a Russian are talking about their countries. And the American starts to, you know, to brag. He says, in my country, I mean, I can walk into the Oval Office and slam my fist on the desk of the president and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running this country. And the Russian appears unimpressed and says, we can do that in my country. The American says, yeah, really? Yes, says the Russian. I can walk right into the Kremlin, slam my fist on Gorbachev's desk and say, I don't like the way President Reagan is running his country. But if that's what we're going to do, if we're going to pound our fists on God's desk and yell at how God is running the universe, what we need to remember is that God is not without answers. And perhaps God will be merciful and not put us in our place as God later does with Job. And so in our struggles and our afflictions and our doubts, we're looking for God and we're searching for answers. And we may not find God on our own, but here's the thing. God will find us. And we will discover that God has not lost us. And that's what Job admits when he says in verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. He knows where I'm going. He knows what I'm doing. He knows every detail of what's happening to me. So God knows the path we take, but do we? And when we find ourselves in a dark night of the soul, conventional wisdom, you know, offers the usual platitudes. You should practice self-compassion. And self-care. You should treat yourself with kindness and understanding while you're searching for God. You should reach out to trusted friends and family members and a therapist for support. You should practice mindfulness or meditation to cultivate inner peace and awareness. You might explore creative outlets such as writing or art or music or dance as a means of self-expression and catharsis. You could also drill down and memorize the Serenity Prayer. You might explore existential questions and search for meaning amid your struggles. And that's all good, and I don't want to diminish any of that. But in the end, for Job, it was all about God. He says, God knows the way. And God knows the way for me. And to find true healing for our afflictions, I mean, it's a gradual, it's a non-linear process, which is why we need to be patient and gentle with ourselves as we go through the ordeal. But success in overcoming the dark night of the soul requires something more. It requires faith. It took a ton of faith for Job to admit this. But deep in his heart, he knew it was true. God knows the way that we take. God can track us as though we have a GPS chip implanted in our faithless hearts. And God says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And in Jeremiah, there's an image of a God who's anxious to be discovered. And he says, when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. And when you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you. God says, I will let you find me. I mean, that's an amazing promise. And this is exactly what Job, this beleaguered character of our text, what he's looking for. And it's often what we're looking for as well. Meanwhile, we might want some night vision goggles for the dark nights of the soul in which we cannot see God. We may want special nighttime glasses so that we can catch the shape or outline of the divine. But what we need is faith. Faith to see God when God cannot be seen. Because He knows the way that we take. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you are the one who never sleeps, for whom the long watches of the night are like day and the darkness is like the noonday sun. Watch over us, and may we know and sense you are watching us. God, give us a quiet strength and confidence that you are near. Some of us cannot sleep, Lord, for we are restless, we are anxious. We find our minds racing, our thoughts circling, our bodies aching, our hearts yearning, our faith struggling. But, O Lord, be present with us. Comfort us and recreate us into wholeness. In our daily living, give us alertness and diligence and wisdom. In our moments of life, give us comfort in our mourning, health in our sickness, God, and assurance for our challenged spirits. Still our racing thoughts to enable us to rest in slumber and to peacefulness. Soothe us in our troubled moments and quiet our restless tossing. You are strength in the day and in the night. In the darkness of the day or the night, may the darkness be kind and gentle so that we may find strength to shut out the turmoil. And let, O Lord, the darkness within us give way to the light of your eternal presence. Wash over us the sun of your saving love. God who never sleeps, be with us in our waking and our sleeping. Nourish, comfort, and refresh us this day and in the hours that lay ahead. And all this we pray in the name of the risen Jesus. It takes every dark and troubled moment and changes it into amazing new possibilities. Amen.